Before we resume our studies, we'll pause for a few moments of silent prayer. You may use the time for rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Father, as we continue our study now, it is our prayer that the Holy Spirit will take what we're about to examine, make it real to us for application in our personal lives. We lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. We are on page 20 of document 2, and I'm going to give you an excerpt from one of the neurology books that I collected here a while back. It's by Richard Thompson. The title of his book is The Brain, A Neuroscience Primer, Second Edition. We'll note some things from pages 83 through 88. I want to give you a definition of a synapse before we begin. The point at which a nervous impulse passes from one neuron to another. This man that I've just quoted, Thompson, has one of my favorite quotes in this book we're about to observe. And here's how it reads. Apparently, the deep structure of all languages is similar. Camilla. I'm complimenting her because I started asking her about some of the names I saw on the opening credits, opening titles, really, for Vikings. And they have these letters, though, that look differently from us in English. Like, for example, the O has a slash through it. And that lets the person in Norway know that there's a certain pronunciation for that letter O. There are some other things, like a little circle over the A, that has a certain pronunciation, and there are two or three others. So it doesn't really matter what language any group of people choose to speak. You'll find out in this paragraph I'm reading that they're all basically the same as far as structure is concerned. So with that intro, here's this. Apparently, the deep structure of all languages is similar. At an early stage, an infant babbles essentially all the sounds or phonemes used in all languages. So they are saying something. Perhaps most surprising is the fact that languages show little sign of evolution or development. All languages, from English to obscure dialects, have the same degree of complexity and similar general properties. Now, here's the block lick here. It is as though humans came into the world equipped with a well-elaborated, complex, and biologically determined language system. In short, it would seem that we may have speech and language centers in the brain that are in some ways predetermined or pre-programmed. And that's what we're about to study. We want to take a look at the blue paragraphs that begin at the bottom of the page. This is from Dr. Thompson. First of all, he addresses synaptic inhibition. A neuron can do only two basic things to influence our cells. It can increase or decrease their activity. Synaptic excitation increases the excitability and activity of a neuron. Those are the things in your brain that capture data, retain it, and then you may recall it from that inventory. Synaptic excitation increases the excitability and activity of a neuron. Inhibition does the opposite. It decreases the excitability and activity of a neuron. What he's speaking about here is facilitating information through repetition or doing quite the opposite. And when it's no longer functional or not used, it begins to be inhibited. In other words, you forget. Fast synaptic inhibition occurs when inhibitory synapses on a neuron are activated. Inhibition works just like excitation. an action potential arrives at the presynaptic terminal, CA2 plus rushes in. Your brain is made up of transferring data from one neuron to the other by electrochemical transfers. All of this goes on in flashes of microseconds as you hear information and retain it. A neural pathway may have millions of connections, and this all happens in a fraction of a second. So if you are listening to me, the information you receive, if you have the inventory for it, if you're not new to doctrine, if you have the inventory for it, you don't have any problem understanding. As soon as the sentence is recited, then you have knowledge of that, and you can continue on with the discussion, whatever it happens to be. So all of this is going on in the brain. Now, there's some technical things that we're going to see here, like the CA2 positive. Just know that they're positive and negatives, and there's certain chemicals that are involved here. You don't have to really know what they are. You just have to know that they're there. Okay, an action potential arrives at the presynaptic terminal. CA2 positive rushes in, and neurotransmitter is released and diffuses across the synaptic space to attach to chemical receptor molecules. Inhibition differs from excitation in that only certain channels are open, in particular CL-. When CL- channels that are normally closed are briefly opened, CL- moves into the cell, making it still more negative inside. The hyperpolarization, which means increased negativity, is termed the inhibitory postsynaptic potential. That's IPSP. IPSPs add together on the cell body and dendrites over space and time, just as EPSPs, the excitatory postsynaptic potential, do. Now, when the cell is being inhibited, it has an IPSP, an excitatory synaptic action that normally would cause the cell to fire, will not do so. Breaking that paragraph down. There are chemicals that function, and your volition determines which way it goes. If it's positive, then that is going to facilitate the concept. If they're negative, it is going to inhibit the concept. Your volition, therefore, controls this. Not only are we seeing volition function here, we're also going to see the sin nature emerge in a little while. The IPSP, that's inhibitory, is characteristic of inhibition. When IPSPs are being induced in a cell, synaptic excitation is less effective. The IPSP decreases the EPSP response of the cell. This is the process of either forgetting or changing your mind about some piece of information. However, the relation is not a simple addition of positive and negative voltages, because inhibition turns out to be more powerful than one would predict. Get that? Inhibition is easier to do than facilitation. A reason inhibition generally tends to be stronger than excitation is that the inhibitory synapses tend to be on the cell body and to cluster near the initial segment of the axon. They are close to the place where the action potential is initiated, and hence can exert a more powerful action on it than can the excitatory synapses, which are mostly further away on the cell body and the dendrites. Okay, you're saying to me right now in your thoughts, why did he read that to us? Well, the gist of it is this, that when information comes in and you capture it with your eyes and your ears, you're going to do something with it. You're going to say, I'm confused, I don't know what that means. You're going to say, I understand that. That's news. Thirdly, you'll say, not only do I understand it, but I believe it. Or, quite the opposite. You'll get information in the noose, you understand what is said, you don't believe it, or you don't understand it. If you believe it, that's positive. That is harder to do than to say, I don't understand it or I don't believe it. Got it? That's what the guy just told us. Now, I want to take my diagram here. It's hard to find these things on the Internet. I found this one, and I think that it is going to help us understand some of these words and what's going on in your brain whenever you hear things. This is you all day long, every day, this little deal here. Now, this is a neuron, along with a channel of data that's going to pass from one neuron to the other. Thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of them are functioning all day long, every day in your brain. This is how you gather information. Okay, let's take this list over here on the left. And then let's go through it one by one. And I've added some things in order to build your inventory. Okay, in the red, number one, an action potential propagates down an axon and reaches the synapse. Okay, the synapse is the end of the axon. The action is the nerve that comes out of the neuron and comes down to a place where it can transfer data to the next neuron. Got that? Right, so this is the synapse here. The axon is that long rope that runs from the neuron down to the synapse. And you've seen diagrams of those. I don't think I brought one of those. This is sort of a blow-up of it. We'll get to that later. So the action potential propagates down the axon and reaches the synapse. Number two is blue. And so what we're going to see with the blue is this. The depolarization causes calcium ion channels to open, allowing Ca plus to diffuse into the cell. So that's number two. And we see this over here. This is all lined up for you over here. And by the way, this is two right here if you want to see it. Number three, increased Ca plus levels cause vesicles carrying neurotransmitters to merge with the synapse membrane. This releases the neurotransmitter into the synaptic cleft. Okay, this is the synapse here. This is a gap right here in the white area. It's called the synaptic cleft. All of your neurons in your brain are individual in the sense that when data is transferred from one to the other, it jumps across a cleft. In other words, there's no firm connection here. The connection is done chemically and electronically. And your brain's doing this constantly. So if you have a synaptic cleft, then the data has to transfer across that gap over to the dendrite of the next neuron. There is a way to facilitate that. Positive volition or ignorance on the other side. And if ignorance on the other side is to reject the incoming information, then the power to move that information across this gap does not happen, and that results in inhibition. So we have a dendrite over here. That is the channel that goes to the next neuron. Over here, it's the axon that comes from the neuron down to the synapse. Now, number four, neurotransmitters diffuse across the synaptic cleft towards the postsynaptic cell. Post is over here, and that's the dendrite. Number five, neurotransmitters bind to receptors on the postsynaptic cell surface, which causes NA positive channels to open. And the blue here shows that. So the data is going to come across from the synapse over to the dendrite at these receptors here. Now, you note that that is positive, Na positive. The diffusion of Na positive ions causes the membrane to reach the threshold potential, which triggers an action potential. In other words, it comes across because positive has been therefore stimulated. The new action potential propagates down the postsynaptic neuron towards the cell body, and that means it goes down to the neuron in that direction, and you've got two neurons involved. As you listen to things or on television, read the newspaper, read a book, take in information through the eye gate, you are analyzing everything you see or hear. And the brain is constantly feeding data into this thing called the brain. And because of what you see and hear, sometimes feel, sometimes others, but you always are taking in data. Some of it you understand, some you don't. Some of it you believe in, some of it you don't believe in. And therefore the brain is organizing all of this. So, I want to read the last paragraph and then we'll go with our analysis. A reason inhibition generally tends to be stronger than excitation is that the inhibitory synapses tend to be on the cell body. The inhibitory synapses tend to be on the cell body. The inhibitories are those that gather on this side of the synapse and to cluster near the initial segment of the axon. They are close to the place where the action potential is initiated and hence can exert a more powerful action on it than can the excitatory synapses, which are further back, which was mostly further away on the cell body and the dendrites. Okay, I've already, if you move to page 22, you'll see that what you find in those 7 points I've just read to you off this diagram here. If you didn't get that, I'll leave the slide up, but it's also on page 22. I want to jump down to the double I under point 7. Dr. Thompson does not profess what I now proffer, that the doctrine of the sin nature clearly indicates that every cell in the body of which neurons are a part, every cell in the body contains the sin nature which works in concert with the soul's volition to produce sin. Functioning out of fellowship, the cosmic believer incorporates human good and evil into his decision making. From this doctrinal principle, I submit this hypothesis. Point one. Volition, in concert with the body's cell structure, namely the neurons of the brain, can produce inhibitory postsynaptic potentials, IPSPs, toward doctrinal principles. Volition can do that. It does constantly, which had been previously facilitated by excitatory postsynaptic potentials. That, therefore, is the process of having information gathered positively, but due to circumstances, incoming data, and whatever, you decide you like some other piece of information or some other avenue of gaining ideas. And therefore, as you do that, you go negative, and the negative concepts appear in the chemical structure of the brain. It is easier to forget than it is to acquire. I hope I've established that so far from Dr. Thompson. So the structure of neurons indicates that the excitatory postsynaptic potentials are not as strong as the inhibitory ones, the IPSPs. Three, when a believer is in reversionism, his volition is more easily focused on inhibiting application of doctrinal principles. When in reversionism, everything is negative, and therefore what you once depended upon and believed is being inhibited while new information is being facilitated. So according to the structure of a neuron, it is easier to inhibit a behavior pattern than to facilitate it. As the reversionistic process continues, the inventory of doctrinal ideas is inhibited, while the inventory of cosmic ideas is facilitated. What's going on here is a description of positive and negative volition. The positive is going to build an inventory that you can depend upon. It's the truth, and truth can be accessed for application. Negative volition says, no, I don't believe that, and therefore you take in information that satisfies that negative volition. And it's easier to inhibit than it is to facilitate. This indicates the power of the sin nature over the soul of a believer out of fellowship. Absent rebound, an associated Bible study. He becomes a hearer instead of a doer. When this inhibitory process continues unabated, all doctrinal recall is blacked out and it's illustrated by a vacuum. When a vacuum is created, alternate cosmic ideas fill that void. You never are in a place where you're not taking in data. Your volition determines those things that you accept, those things you reject. It varies with the individual. The amount of facilitated ideas varies with the individual. When people come into a Bible class such as this, let's just assume they were saved last Tuesday and now they've arrived here. The things that I've been saying today are not particularly clear to that person because we develop a vocabulary over 33 years now. And that vocabulary has behind it, in various categories of systematic theology, hundreds of concepts and ideas. And you draw from that if you're positive. And that helps facilitate the ideas that are coming in fresh and new. And you can categorize it in a certain area of systematic theology, and you can recall that for application. If you are ignorant of these things, yet positive, then a process begins by which you systematically, over time, increase your inventory of ideas regarding the Word of God. Things are gradually facilitated. You begin to orient to this, and that orientation allows you to start making good decisions from a position of strength. Over time, you get to the sophisticated spiritual life, and you have the copacetic spiritual life. If you are negative and therefore say, "Wah, I can't," or "It's too hard, I don't want to," that's a negative concept, and therefore data is not being systematically transferred in a positive way, but rather you stay in the status quo, buy into the cosmic lie, and then that begins to be facilitated, and whatever you've learned up to that point is going to be inhibited. So when this inhibitory process continues unabated, all doctrinal recall is blacked out of the soul, illustrated by a vacuum. And when a vacuum is created, alternate cosmic ideas fill that void. The most easily available candidates are the doctrines of demons, human viewpoint, cosmic concepts, sin, human good, evil, all contributing to soul darkness. All five senses, sight, hearing, smell, taste, and touch, individually or in groups, are sources the sin nature can co-opt to help facilitate its ideas. You can see something and be motivated by it and interpret that as something that is either establishment concept or a biblical concept. You can go positive or negative. You can hear something, same thing. You can smell something, same thing. Taste it, touch it. All of these can excite things in the soul. And if it's excitement in a positive way, then things happen positively. If excitement in a negative way, then things begin to happen negatively. In Ephesians 4:17, the noun mataiates is best translated vacuum. What the believer once believed and then facilitated is sucked out by the first six stages of reversionism. The resultant condition is defined beautifully under the entries vacuous and emptiness in Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary. The word vacuous, emptied of or lacking content, marked by lack of ideas or intelligence, namely stupid and inane. Emptiness, synonym vacuous, lacking contents that could or should be present. Vacuous suggests the emptiness of a vacuum and especially the emptiness of intelligence. Okay. This nation is filled with people who have all of this going on. If you are alive, then these neural pathways are constantly being developed one way or the other. You're for this, you're against that. You know this piece of information, but not that. You agree with this, you don't agree with that. Volition is the thing guiding the show. There is something else that's intruding upon this process, and that's called the sin nature that is in every cell of the human body. And guess where it winds up? Inhibitory potentials are closer to the synaptic cleft than are the positive. And therefore, it's easier to reject and facilitate that than it is to accept, more difficult, to accept the truth, because the functionaries that take that information and move it across the synaptic cleft are further back on the neuron's axon or the neuron's dendrites. That's where the sin nature has the show and where he runs the show. Therefore, positive volition toward the Word of God is a struggle for free will. You buy into this or you don't. And it's easier not to than it is to say, yes, I want to know more. And the world is infected by this entire process because that's who we are. When rejection of a doctrinal inventory of ideas occurs, then the vacuum created will suck in an alternate inventory to fill that void. There are a number of passages that address the problem of blackout of the soul, and here are a few. These are from the New American Standard. Take John 12:35. This is down at the bottom of that verse. He who walks in darkness does not know where he goes. He's going places, you don't know where. Well, you say, we know exactly where he's going. He starts out at A and he's going to wind up at B. But the question arises, do you know why? Do you know what will result from that? Do you have any idea to think your way through this? Is this something you want to do? A lot of people think of things they want to do and then they do it. It's not a good thing to do. But for them, it is a good thing. 1 John 1:6. If we say we have fellowship with God and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. We got the lie and the truth right there in that little one sentence. The lie facilitated wheel tracks of wickedness. Don't know the truth. We don't know, don't understand, don't buy into facilitated wheel tracks of righteousness. 1 John 2:11. The one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Don't turn the page. You think you've memorized that verse already? Look at what it says. We're talking James 2 here. The one who hates his brother is in the darkness. Do we have hatred in James 2? Running through, let's say, verses 1 through 5. Do you know what hatred looks like? It's all over the TV. They got so much hate going on out there today, and they put them on TV so they can demonstrate their hatred. Nobody says, well, you know, Fred just has another opinion than I do. My opinion happens to be thus and so. Okay, that'd be the proper way to do it. But it says, Fred is lower than dirt. He is a criminal. He's done everything wrong his entire life. He can't get out of the dark by himself with a beacon. He is absolutely the most disgusting person I've ever known. And then blah, blah, blah. You can go home and see that. I guarantee you, go to any of these news channels, you'll see somebody screaming hatred. Screaming it. There was a woman on this. Joe Henry has Fox News going on Sunday mornings. And I don't know why. To me, it seems you'd get her out of fellowship. But I was down there putting on my tie, and there's this woman railing at high pitch. I mean, it's almost at the threshold of pain. She's screaming about this other guy with whom she didn't agree. And I went in there and looked at this, and I thought, I've got to change the channel or get out of here. So I went upstairs. The one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness. What's the walking here? Walking has to do with facilitating ideas or inhibiting them. He walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. And then we have 1 Timothy 4:1. The Holy Spirit explicitly says that in latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, in the hatred complex, would you say that the hatred complex has to do with doctrines from the Word of God or doctrines from demons? What's the source for that? Now, the Bible reports on it, but doesn't recommend it. False doctrine enters the soul, drawn in by the vacuum, resulting in the influence of evil. Evil is the bottom line. When we go back and find it, I want to go back. What is the bottom line on this tragedy here that we're building? All the way down here to reverse process reversionism. That's where you bottom out. That's potential sin unto death if you don't recover. We'll see in James 5 where a guy is exactly there and somehow is able to pull his fat out of the fire. It'll be sometime 2022 is when we'll get to that. The carnal believer who once matriculated in the Divine Academy of Grace Didactics has withdrawn from its curriculum to enroll in that of the Satanic Academy of Cosmic Didactics, where he has become a star pupil. Didactics has to do with the communication of truth to an audience. Didactical concepts are found in colleges, universities, high schools, grammar schools, and so on. And somebody stands up and communicates to a group of people on a particular subject, and therefore that's a didactical process. Now, you can have many categories in a university. They teach you about science, they teach you about math, they teach you about journalism, which I did, and you have others that you do. And therefore, they're communicating information so you can take in the data and become, to some degree, efficient in that area. And then you move on down the line. Okay, in the devil's world, in the one in which we function, we have a divine academy of grace didactics. The classroom for Christianity is the local church. And you have the satanic academy of cosmic didactics. And that curriculum is found in the devil's world. Now, the final phrase of Ephesians 4:17 is of their mind, the ablative of source of the noun nous, the area of academic understanding in the soul. That's incoming data understood academically. The source of this vacuous state of mind is the place where volition makes a choice whether to process the teachings of each academy's curriculum. What's our curriculum? 11 categories of systematic theology. What is the textbook? The Bible, Tanakh and New Testament. What is the program? What is the curriculum that we're going to draw from that? We're going to draw from that ideas based on the thinking of God. He will reveal to us what is positive. He will reveal to us what is negative, and we get to vote. So the source of this vacuous state of mind is the place where volition makes a choice whether to process the teachings of each academy's curriculum. In this case, we find that doctrines that are believed are positive to those taught by demons and opposed to those taught by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, our expanded translation of Ephesians 4:17. I repeatedly communicate and affirm at successive intervals with the Lord, that you no longer walk in wheel tracks of wickedness as the heathen also walk in the vacuousness of their souls. And then from the New American Standard, the verse continues, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of ignorance that is in them because of the hardness of their heart. And we'll take a look at that come Wednesday evening. Now, Father, we thank you for the power of your word And we thank you for what we've been able to discuss here today. We pray that the Holy Spirit will make it real to us so that we will contribute to our inventory of ideas and our ability to handle incoming information from the devil's world. Motivate and encourage us by this prospect as we lift our prayer of gratitude in the name of Christ, our Savior. Kares human kai irene, plethun thae in epinosai, tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu himon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, shall we stand.